right, take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, again to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. 2 Samuel 9, beginning with verse 1 down through verse 13. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his feet and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Our subject today is the condition of every sinner when found of the Lord. Every sinner must be found of the Lord in order for that individual ever to be saved. This truth is set forth clearly in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, where we read, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." While this passage and many others set forth the way God saves a sinner, today this truth is unknown, unwanted, and unpreached, and unexperienced by the vast majority. In its place has come a contract salvation, by which the individual he reads, hears, or is talked to, and after this signs his name on the dotted line, which is called his decision for salvation. There is no repentance, no conviction, no mourning, no fear, and also, for the most part, no real salvation. Will you answer this question at this hour? How were you saved? Was it by signing your name, uttering a prayer after someone who put it in your mind, or merely going forward? Or did you really experience the dealing of God in your life, and then He revealed Himself to your heart by the Holy Spirit through His blessed Word? If it was not the latter, my friend, put it down. You probably have been tricked by Satan. In our lesson today, we shall set forth the condition of every sinner when he is found of the Lord. If you are truly converted, you will be able to travel down the line with us as we set forth these truths. If you cannot, our hope is that the Lord will bring you down the road of grace unto Himself. Remember, God has but one way to save a sinner, and this method is set forth throughout the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Before the Lord saves a sinner, he teaches that individual. In John 6:45, we read, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me." What is true in the New Testament is also true in the Old Testament, for there is no difference on how God saves a sinner. Therefore, as we view Mephibosheth, we shall see that what he learned, every sinner whom the Lord ever saves learns also. Take your Bibles now and turn with me to our text in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Notice the place where Mephibosheth lived and see how it parallels our world today. The dwelling place of Mephibosheth in verse 4 was the place of Lodebar, which means the place of no pasture. How this describes the condition of every sinner before that individual is converted. We dwell in the place of no pasture because this world cannot satisfy the longing of the human heart, and it cannot give true peace, which only my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, can. As a songwriter penned these words, they describe the action of many a worldling apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says, "Many are searching for silver and for gold, seeing no need of mercy for the soul, heeding not the message that's told, you must be born again. Pattern your life to make yourself a name, thinking you are rich when you have your fame, saying to God, well, I'm not to blame, you must be born again." Is that your category today, my friend? I hope that if it is, that the Lord will put the arrow of conviction in your heart, even at this moment. Let's look at Mephibosheth again and examine his name. The word Mephibosheth means, "out of my mouth, shame." In Romans 3:13, we read this, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Coupled with this, we see Mephibosheth was not only one out of whose mouth came shame, but he was also lame on both his feet. In 2 Samuel 9:13, we read, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet." Last of all, we read that Mephibosheth was of the household of Saul, which was at war with the household of David. All this reveals the condition of every sinner apart from conversion. Let me ask you another question, if I may. Is this your condition now, my radio friend? It is, if you have never repented and come to Christ for salvation. While Mephibosheth sets forth the condition of the sinner apart from Christ, he also reveals the enmity of the sinner towards God. In 2 Samuel 9:4, we read of Mephibosheth dwelling in the house of Machir, which name means cellar. He also dwelt in Lodebar, the place of no pasture, but we do not read of any desire on the part of Mephibosheth to better himself with regard to a reconciliation with David. In 2 Samuel 4:4, we read of the flight of Mephibosheth and his lameness, while in 2 Samuel 9:4, we read of his contentment to dwell in the place of no pasture. What is true here is true with the condition of every sinner apart from Christ and before that sinner is ever dealt with by the Lord. No sinner wants to be saved if he can help it. The sinner cries, struggles, and attempts to avoid any contact with the truth of God, because no sinner loves the truth until the Lord first of all puts the love of the truth in his heart. Mephibosheth was that way until David called him, and so was your speaker, but I shall never cease to praise the Lord for not leaving me to go my own way. Last of all, Mephibosheth was ignorant of the love that David had for him, just as every sinner is ignorant of the love the Lord Jesus Christ has for him. You see, in Mephibosheth, we have portrayed the condition of every sinner before the Lord when the Lord goes after him. Like Mephibosheth, every sinner is blinded by the god of this world, Satan, and the desires to believe a lie in the place of the truth. That is why many of you become angry at this kind of preaching. Your profession will not hold up under sound Bible teaching, and when the truth of God probes your heart, you become uneasy, upset, and irritable. This irritability proves your unsaved condition before the Lord, because every truly born-again believer loves the truth. He knows the truth and delights to hear the truth proclaimed. Let me ask you another question, if I may. Can you go back to the time that you stood before God as a sinner, dwelling in the world, devoid of any merit or ability, desiring to be left alone, and ignorant of God's love to you? Or are you like so many who have said, "Well, I have always known, believed, and loved God"? My friend, if you can't go back to the time and the place in your life where you stood before God as the kind of a sinner that Mephibosheth portrays, it is my prayer that the Lord will reveal to you your true condition before him, and then break you at his feet, crying out for mercy to bestow on you a poor, lost, and guilty sinner. When my Lord goes after a sinner, he does not ask that sinner if he would like to be saved. Instead, my Lord issues the command that the light shine in the sinner's heart, revealing to the individual his condition and making that sinner to face reality. What my Lord does to the sinner, David did to Mephibosheth. Let's look at it for just a moment. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 9, verses 5 and 6, where we read, "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Behold thy servant.'" Here in this portion, we see certain realities take place in the life of this man, Mephibosheth, which realities also take place in the life of every one of God's elect as they travel the road to salvation. First of all, in the realities that we see, there was the command of David to fetch this wretch of a sinner to be brought into his presence. What David did to Mephibosheth, the Holy Spirit does to the individual when he begins to deal with that individual. Now notice carefully. This call, or I should say, Mephibosheth had this call come to him personally, abruptly, sovereignly, and absolutely. In like manner, the Holy Spirit comes upon the individual at the command of God. This is what is meant by the word, the reproving of the Spirit. Now look with me, if you will, at the word fetch for just a moment. Listen to verse 5. "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo-debar." This word fetch means to send after, to be called, or to cause to be brought into the presence of someone. Mephibosheth was brought abruptly, sovereignly, majestically, singly, and wonderfully into the presence of His Majesty, King David. Now when this took place, Mephibosheth was awestruck with the majesty and manifested it by the falling on his face and doing reverence to King David. Are you still listening? What happened to this man happens to every sinner when my Lord sets out to save him. To be brought into the presence of the Lord is a fearful but glorious experience. The individual becomes awestruck and afraid because the glory of the Lord, which dawns upon his soul, frightens him. Listen, my friend, like the Shekinah glory of God, which shone round about them on the shepherds at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, so the glory and the majesty and the holiness of God is made aware to the sinner's heart. In that, and that makes the sinner become afraid. You see, beloved, the fear of the Lord begins to fall on that individual. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yet the sad commentary of this present hour is that for the most part, there is no fear of God in the religious ranks of this present hour. The reason is clear. There has been no true Holy Spirit conviction. There has been no revelation of who the Lord is or what He is. With the result, there is no reverence of God. There is no respect of God. And as a consequence, there is no relationship with the Lord on the part of the vast majority of today. Last of all, Mephibosheth had David speak with him personally. Mephibosheth never got over it, and he desired never again to leave the presence of David. In like manner, the same thing is true with the individual when the Lord brings that person unto Himself. Now in these closing moments, will you answer this question if you can? Can you go back to the time that the Lord called you by name and brought you into His presence to deal with you individually? Can you go back also to the time that the fear of God fell upon you and you became afraid of the Lord and were made to fall at His feet in the dust and ashes of repentance? Listen, my friend, this is what happens when the Lord sets out to save an individual. If you have not traveled this route, you had better go back and see if your so-called salvation experience is of the Lord or is of Satan, the trickster, because Satan will do all in his power to keep you deceived if he possibly can. It is my hope and my prayer, even at this present hour, that if you haven't been able to go down the line as we have set these things before you, the Lord will open your heart, deal with you personally as David dealt with Mephibosheth, and then grant to you His everlasting favor. Oh, it's my hope and prayer that you might be in this number if you have not as yet traveled this road. Until we meet again, goodbye, and may the Lord spare you is my prayer.